coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning, Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. Glad to have you on board with us this morning as we welcome you to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen, and I think this may say it all right here.
Together again. My tears have stopped.
My tears have stopped.
Are you kidding me? He really did that.
He did.
He did that on PSR. You got to be kidding me.
My tears have stopped.
We're all Lord have mercy.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, Clay Cleveland's listening to the show in Atlanta, and he's going to think this is some kind of country shindig.
Well, I want to tell you, it's good to have the gang back together. Coach Rick is back. Coach Mark is back. And we're glad to have Sean here with us as well. So
that's the star of the show.
There you go right there.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt. Coach, how was your fourth with the family up in Atlanta?
Man, it was to see those grandkids is like manna from heaven. I'm just going to tell you right now. And the one thing that I absolutely love about those two is they always have an agenda. Grandchildren always have an agenda.
They wake up with one.
But it's always great to see Clay and Brooke but to see Turner and to see Taylor and the gleam in their eyes when you go somewhere with them and just, get it. Whatever you want.
Yeah, you just go. Pawpaw's here. We're going to get everything we want.
That's right.
Ain't no doubt. Mark, how you doing, brother? You're looking good, man. It looks like you were out doing a little fishing. How'd you do?
We had a fantastic trip. Yeah, I'm just telling you. And I'm going to give a shout-out to my boys' golf team at Bayside Academy. They gave me a little gift. They kind of pooled their money together and bought myself a little fishing trip, 4-hour trip down in Fort Morgan. We went with a guy named Jay from Jay Hook Fishing, inshore fishing. And my two older boys, Brooks and Landon, went with me yesterday. And, man, we had a ball. We got up at 4 o'clock and drank a little coffee and got in the car and wheeled down to Fort Morgan and got on the boat and went fishing and got home about 11 o'clock with a cooler full of fish. And I think Brooks is coming over tonight or tomorrow night, and we're going to cook them. And we had a large time. But that Jay was a wonderful guy, and he just very personable, loves
awesome.
Sports. He lives in his kids all went to Foley. And so having a nice chat with him was really enjoyable. But we had a great time.
That's awesome. And back in here with us, Sean Esfahani Jr., how are you doing, my brother? Man, it is good to see you.
Where you at?
We got to get you turned on here. Hang on. We're going to get you hooked up here in just a second then. But
last week he was cutting 89 off.
Yeah.
And he got a raise for that.
He did?
Yes, sir.
You got a raise. Did I?
For cutting 89 off a couple of times.
Let me just tell you, Coach. I told Mark, I said, look, when 89 gets here, you're going to see me do some things I don't normally do,
right. Okay?
And I'm going to cut him off. He'll get to talking, and he won't stop. And we did it by, I think last count was 4 times, right?
So,
bless his heart.
I love that guy. Russ Wood, thank you for joining us last week.
Such a sweet guy. I'm just telling you that.
He's a mess. Hey, look, we have got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with a former head football coach at T.R. Miller and Houston Academy, one of the premier high school coaches in Alabama. Coach Jamie Riggs is going to be on with us.
We are. You know, last summer we started a Legends series, and we went ahead and got started with that last year. And Jamie was on with us last year. But we wanted to have him on again. It's been a year now. He's been completely retired. And just see what he's doing and catch up with him a little bit, because he's one of my favorite people. And just what a fantastic job he's done. Did it, T.R. Miller and at Houston Academy.
You know, I'm anxious to hear from Jamie where Michael is now. You know, Mike, his son was coaching.
I think he's at Auburn.
Is he at Auburn?
I think he's
at Auburn High School?
I think so. No, Auburn University.
Really?
I think so.
Is he a student assistant? Is
no,
he,
I think I think
coach?
They've got him, and I'm not sure exactly what he's doing there, but last I heard, that's where he was. Now, I could be wrong. Jamie can tell us for sure, but I think he's in Auburn.
Well, now you know that with T.R. Miller, now W.S. Neal has hired Hugh Fountain.
Yes, I
and
saw
Hugh
that.
Fountain was the guy that really got that program rocking and rolling for a long time. So it's going to be interesting now in Bruton. That's going to kind of be an Orange Beach, Gulf Shores kind of thing. Hugh Fountain's not going to take second place to anybody in Bruton, I can just tell you right now.
No, he's not, and he's got his work cut out for him.
Oh, no doubt.
And
no
doubt. T.R. Miller's got probably want to have – they're going to have a really good football team this year. They got two really – they got a running back who will be a sophomore who's going to be highly recruited throughout this country. And they got another back that's back from last year that's a really good player. Of course, they have to replace their quarterback from the last couple of years, yeah. Miller Hart. But yeah. They're going to be all right. They're going to have a good team. But Hugh Fountain will do a great job there.
Well,
Hugh Fountain will do a great job.
T.R. Miller's got two great running backs. They better have they better have four, five, six, seven offensive linemen that can do something.
Well, they're going to have to, because it doesn't make any difference how good you are running that thing. You know, I remember we've seen some good running backs. T.J. Yeldon, one of the best backs I ever saw play. But he had some guys in front of him. And you talk about some gritty son of guns that played O-line at Daphne at that time. They would get after you. And, I mean, they made none of them. I don't know if any of them back in those days went D1, but they were some really good football, hard-nosed kids. And T.J. was – wow.
Speaking of the Trojans of Daphne, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk with Coach Michael Pierce. Now, he was a former quarterback there for Daphne. Also, he's part of that Bayside coaching staff for many years, and just a great guy. He is now part of the staff for the world champion
Los Angeles Rams.
And we'll be talking with him. He is such a good dude.
That's pretty cool to see him get a Super Bowl ring, man.
Yeah,
it is. Cool. It is. I haven't seen him since he got the ring. I'm looking forward next time he comes to town. I'm hoping we can see it. I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Boy, Michael's just done a fantastic job. And he is one of the finest kids I've ever been around, you know, just as a young coach at Bayside. When I got there, he was already on staff. And just
– kids loved him.
Oh, my gosh. They did love him.
Yep.
And my Landon, when he was there,
right.
He still talks about Michael and about – you know, how much he appreciated him and who he was and what kind of guy he was. And I'm looking forward to having Michael on. He does. He's into a lot of other things, too.
He's sure, tell
us all about. But he's works for the Rams.
He had brought me several Rams hats, right?
Really?
Yeah, he did. And you know who I gave one to?
Who's that?
Big L.A. fan.
I have no idea.
Mark Vines.
Yeah, Mark Vines is a big
fan.
So
I gave him one of those.
True.
He was happy.
Well.
He was happy.
You know,
no
he
doubt.
Was with Phil at the Senior Bowl. And Phil absolutely loved him.
Yes, he
just
did.
Phil brought him on.
Phil Savage. Phil,
oh, yeah, yeah. Phil, I'm sorry. Phil Savage, he thought the world of Michael. And I don't want to say he shopped him, but he sure recommended him to everybody because of his work ethic and the way he could he's just endearing to everybody that he meets.
Well, Phil Savage is one of those guys who wants to help young people reach their goals.
Yeah.
He's always been that way. All you got to do is listen to him talk at a football camp.
That's right.
Right.
And he's done that forever and ever and ever. And he saw in Michael something that I think he realized he could have some real impact on some kids and some people and organizations around where that he knew of, especially in the professional ranks, which, you know, and I was surprised to see Michael leave and do that. But, man, he's just done a great job with it. I understand. I think we'll ask him to make sure. But I think at last time I talked to Michael, he was the scout for the Eastern Division of the SEC.
Yeah, but what they do now in the NFL now, they are position only. What they do is Michael's position is tight ends.
Hmm.
And he is the one that evaluates every tight end in his region and then makes a recommendation to the cross-checker.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like baseball. They've gotten so where now there is one particular person for each particular area that recruits, or not recruits, but evaluates positions. So you got an offensive line guy, you got and tight end is separate from that because of the way they utilize them in the NFL. Second of all, you got a running back, you got a quarterback guy that evaluates them. It's pretty cool what they do, and then they bring in a cross-checker to say, yes,
Right.
That's a positive.
They can't afford to make a mistake.
No,
it'll be fun to talk with him.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to talk with
absolutely.
Him. Hey, and then in the bottom of our second hour, we're going to go over to Pensacola and talk with a good friend of ours, Jeff Price. He's the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals along the panhandle of Florida on WFGX or WGFX 35, part of that WER-TV family. And we'll get Jeff's take on high school football over there. Plus, we'll talk a little about what you and I were talking about, how you can move to different schools to play different sports. We'll get his take on that. Got some coaching changes to talk about. All of that coming up in the next segment right here on the Prep Sports Report on PSR Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy, Rick, Mark, Sean, we're all here and glad you are with us on a beautiful Saturday morning along the Gulf Coast. Had a little bit of rain. Looks like it's going to be beautiful. A little shameless plug real quick. Hey, the Fort in Spanish Fort is having a huge Jeep deal. All right, Sean, you were there last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, there's going to be like 600 Jeeps out there. So if you have a chance, come check it out and stop by Booms and get you something to eat as well. All right. Sean, let's talk about, we say Jeeps, let's talk about what's happening with Hyundais right now.
First, I would like to talk about Booms, okay? Went there last night. Y'all's restaurant, you and your wife's restaurant, is awesome. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, brother.
But, yeah, I've been out of the saddle here for a little bit. It's good to be back. A beautiful day. It started off a little bit rainy, but now we got some nice sunny weather. But, yeah.
What you got going on from a car standpoint? We're looking at a beautiful new truck. Mark wants to drive it out of here today.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm still kind of catching up on some of the stuff we just got in.
Yesterday
was my first day back here in a little bit. But, I mean, we've always got a lot of cool stuff going on. One of the things that's been pretty exciting here over the last month and a half is we've gotten a lot more inventory in than we've gotten in the past. So all kinds of great stuff out there. Hyundai's releasing some really good incentives here lately.
Cool.
You know, we got summer savings, summer specials, you know, the whole work. So it's nice to see some of the stuff coming back to normal a little bit.
Right? Yeah, it is. It is, no doubt about it. Hey, some of the things that aren't normal, some things that are changing, some coaching changes. Mark, you got one right off the bat. Now, from a baseball standpoint, three-time state champion Jay Mitchell, he takes the Decatur Heritage baseball job.
I didn't know that had moved. I didn't know he had gone there. I didn't know that. That's a new one for me.
Hey, take that headset right there, Rick. Yeah, we got a little technical thing going on right now. So,
yeah, you kind of put one on Mark there. That's
I didn't know anything about
that. I throw curves, baby. You got to be swinging.
You got to give him a little break there.
Never could hit a curveball.
You know, the Decatur Heritage, of course, is a Christian-based faith school in Decatur. And their baseball coach, Steve Meek, this past spring, resigned. And as a result of that, they were seeking a new baseball coach. And Jay Mitchell is really a perfect fit for them. Jay Mitchell has done a tremendous job everywhere he's coached. And in his last his last 15 years have been at Mars Hill Bible School. And so it didn't take him long to hire Jay Mitchell. Jay Mitchell is one of the finest baseball men in the state of Alabama. I can tell you right now, he is, he's first of all, he's a Christ-centered man. He's a man who is, he lives the mission of Decatur Heritage School. And there's no better guy to replace Steve Meek than Jay Mitchell. And, you know, he was... he's a graduate of Mars Hill. He spent 19 years there. And I'm going to tell you right now, he will do a fantastic job there at Mars Hill. Mark, you and I were talking a little bit earlier about Thomasville High School. Greg Crager, who was an assistant at Spanish Fort, He was assistant at Thompson. So he kind of followed Mark Freeman around there for a while.
Right.
And then he went to Millery as a head coach. And last year, when Jack Hankins left, you know, Jack left and went to Georgia.
Georgia, correct. No. He went to Mississippi.
He did go to Mississippi. I'm sorry. And so when Jack left, they hired Greg Crager as their head football coach. They went 5-6. For whatever reason, they decided to let him go. Now, you know, it's not our job to talk about the reasons superintendents and principals let somebody go, and that's just a decision that's made internally by the administration.
So
Greg has now left and gone, if I'm not mistaken now, help me with this, he left the job at Thomasville as a head football coach. And where did he go?
He went to Benjamin Russell.
He did go to Lake City. He went to Benjamin Russell.
I have not had a chance to talk to Richie Brooks, the athletic director there, about that, but I did see it came up on our Facebook post yesterday. It says Coach Crager spent last year as head coach at Thomasville.
Right.
We have hired him at Benjamin Russell High School as our offensive coordinator. And I think that from what I understand, he is a tremendous offensive coach. And I knew that, you know, Smitty Grider was looking – Richie Brooks, the AD, I talked to him a few weeks back, and he had said that they were going to be looking for an offensive coordinator. So
right.
This is the guy they've hired, and, you know, I think it's a good hire for him, you know.
Well, anytime you go from a head football coach and you're looking for a coordinator, you've got a guy that doesn't mind pressure. And
correct.
That's the one thing that Greg will do is he'll go in there and he'll implement whatever he wants to do. You know, Smitty's pretty good about this. Now, Smitty's going to let his coaches coach. That's the one thing Smitty Grider will do. And if you talk to our friends down in Dothan, one of the things that they'll tell you about Smitty is, boy, when he hired coaches, he let them coach, and he didn't try to coach on top of them.
Right.
So that's a great, good thing for Greg is he'll get that opportunity to run that offense at Benjamin Russell. But when you look at the situation that's now occurring in Thomasville, if I'm not mistaken – then what I believe has happened is Buddy Anderson's son, is Clint Anderson not Buddy's son?
I couldn't tell you that.
Well, I'm thinking
know.
He is, and if he's not, then my apologies go out to Buddy and the family. But I'll talk to Buddy today and find out if that is his son. And that's another one we want to get on the Legends again because Buddy is a tremendous, tremendous football coach and loves his hometown. And so, but we'll,
I'm trying to reach out to. If anybody has this number, text it to me, is Bob Newton, the former coach at Homewood High School. He's been retired a few years, and what a great guy he is. You know, this is really funny. Bob Newton and Coach Anderson, Coach Lazenby, Carol Cox, all those guys played at Sanford together.
And you know who their quarterback was?
No, I don't.
A guy named Jimmy Nipper. From Fairfield High School.
Is that right?
Yeah, Jimmy Nipper and James Owens played together.
I don't know who James Owens is either.
James Owens was the first African-American player at Auburn University.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he sure was. And just a tremendous, tremendous man. And, boy, a heck of a football player. I can remember Sylacauga when I was just a little bitty boy. Well, we had just moved to Sylacauga. We went up Buttercup, decided that we were going to go watch Sylacauga and Fairfield play, and there goes James Owens down the field, up and down the field. Then he moves over at linebacker, and every time you hear, here comes Randy Billingsley, here comes so-and-so, so-and-so, James Owens on the tackle. I mean, he was some kind of football player. So yeah, that's a little bit of history there. But, James Owens was a running back. Jimmy Nipper was a quarterback. Went on to Howard University, Howard College at the time.
That's where my mom and daddy went to school.
Right. And of course, that's where Bobby Bowden was the head football coach at one time. So that's
And I think I've told you all the story. When I was a little kid and my daddy was going to school, we would come a couple of times and watched Sanford. Now, back then, they had gold helmets.
Yeah, they sure did.
Now, in the corner of the end zone, there's a huge hill. And all those little kids would get on a piece of cardboard and slide down that hill during a ball game. And that's what I remember. I don't remember if they won or not.
Let me tell you some more history on that. If you could watch WBRC-TV in Birmingham, you could watch Howard's football games on TV. And Tom York did the play-by-play.
I did not know that.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
Good thing. And they would show those children going down that hill on those cardboard
boxes. I was one of them. I was about five
or six.
Isn't
that pretty cool? That's pretty cool. So, a lot of coaching changes. And what we're going to do one Saturday is we're just going to go through all of them. We're just going to give all the changes. And there's five in Mobile County.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking about this driving in today. You look at – Murphy. You look at what now, what John's got to do over at Murphy now. He just gets in there at what, midsummer.
Yeah.
And they're behind in everything. Didn't have a spring training. Didn't have, didn't really, hadn't had any 7-on-7, had any of that. And so, boy, they're really behind over there. And then you got, the Coleman, who's the Coleman boy at Williamson, played at Auburn. Really good football player. He's the interim head coach there. And so we got a big change there.
I had a brain lock this morning. I can't think of that kid, and I played coached against him.
Well, and then you look up at St. Paul's and you look at the job that they've got. Of course, Steve Mask has left and gone to Pell City. And that job has been filled. So, you know, Steely Dan will get us out of here.
They will. They'll do a good job of it.
Ain't no doubt about that. So,
a special guest coming up in the next segment.
Yes, we do. Coach Jamie Riggs will be our first legend on the Legend Series for the summer.
Be a good one.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and time to go to our Pops Communication phone lines and welcome in former head football coach for T.R. Miller and Houston Academy, one of the best, Coach Jamie Riggs. Coach, thanks for taking time to be with us on a beautiful Saturday morning.
It is a beautiful morning, and you're welcome anytime.
Jamie, it's always good to have you on. When we do these legend series during the summer, Mark Lassiter says, well, the ultimate legend is Jamie Riggs, because this is a guy, I don't know if you take that as a compliment or as a work issue, but you know, when you look at Jamie Riggs, guys, my first introduction to Jamie was at the Huntington College tennis courts. Jamie and I, we scheduled a tennis match. And I'm not sure who won, but I sure had a great time getting to know Jamie and doing all the things that he's done in the past. And when you look at his football career, Mark, one of the things that really is neat to me is Jamie played football at T.R. Miller. And then he went back to T.R. Miller and really reestablished the tradition there. Jamie, tell us just a little bit about you making the decision to return home. And it had to be a fire burning in the pit of your stomach to want to go home and coach your high school team.
Well, you know, when I got into coaching, I never really thought about coming back to Miller to coach. You know, when I was in high school, none of my coaches at Miller were from Bruton. And, you know, I thought you went off somewhere else and coached. And, I never really thought about that. And then when I got the opportunity to do that, it was just a dream come true. And you know, I walked into a perfect situation. Very few people get this. When I showed up in the fall of 1989, my former coach Frank Cotton was the principal.
Yep.
My mother was the bookkeeper for the city schools. My dad was the maintenance man. And so, you know, and I had that fall, I had 8 seniors, and I had 25 juniors, and I had 20 sophomores. And wow. I don't know if you'd get a better situation than that. If I couldn't have won under those conditions, they should have fired me.
Oh, me. Well, when you look at it, Jamie, you come from op, and I'm trying to think. Mike Dubose obviously played at Op High School and was one of the really, really good players there. But talk just a little bit about those 3 years you had at Op, because that had to be kind of a – I don't know if it's a culture change, but it's just a different community than probably a little bit – it's like Bruton and it's a small town, but it's a different culture there in Op, isn't it, around the Rattlesnake Rodeo?
It is, and I had been there as an assistant coach in 1981 and 82, and met my wife there. And so then I came to Brute to be an assistant coach in the mid-'80s, and I worked with Mike Sasser here in Brute for 3 years. And then they offered me the head coaching job, and I went back over there. And when I went back over there, they had only won 5 games in the previous 3 years, and things had kind of fallen off. And when I went the first year, we won 6 games, and I really thought I was the second coming of Bear Bryant. I thought I had all the answers, and I knew everything, you know, and I was going to build this thing and go from there, but I wasn't through doing it yet. And the next year, I won 1 game, and the next year I won 5 games. And when they offered me the job in Bruton, I'll never forget, Dale Garner was superintendent in Bruton, and he called me and offered me the job. And you know, and I want y'all to remember this, at the time Joel Williams was the coach at the time,
right?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah, and Joel was leaving to go to Milton, and Mr. Garner called and asked me, he says, I think Joel's gonna leave and go to Milton, would you be interested in the job? And I said, yes sir, I would be. He said, well, I'll call you tomorrow, he's gonna tell us for sure tomorrow. So he called me the next day, said, yeah, he's leaving, or you want the job? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you need to go home and talk to your wife about it. And I said, no. I'll tell her when I get home today that we're going to Bruton. So that's the way I got there. But I tell you, I learned a lot in those 3 years in Ops, especially the years there, that year where we didn't win but 1 game. I learned a lot about what not to do. And I tried my best during my years in Bruton to avoid that, some of the things that I got into over there. And I really think it had a lot to do with success we had at Bruton those 3 years that I was in Ops.
You know, Jamie, when I remember first hearing about Jamie Riggs, I was at Benjamin Russell, I think, and somehow I came to a clinic. And you were speaking at the clinic, and you were running the and you've always been really good at it, but back in those days, back in the late 80s, y'all were running the counter tray with the GT pull, with a guard and tackle pull. And we watched that on film. And when you showed it to us, and I remember thinking, man, that's something else. And today, that was at the beginning of it all. Today, that has become, you know, there's so many different ways of running that play that it's become very difficult for defensive guys to try to stop. What were some of the things that you saw when back in those days and figuring out how to, you know, your offense and what you were going to do? Because whatever it did, it turned T.R. Miller into the program that we all know today is probably one of the winningest, or is one of the winningest programs in football history in the state of Alabama.
Mark, you know, when I came to Bruton, the one thing I knew down through the years is that we had running backs. It's just one thing we had. We had running backs. And so this was, like I said, 1989. And so if you got running backs in those days, the best thing you do is put them in the I formation. And so I started from there. And we went on to some one-back stuff. But I always, in those days, had the quarterback under the center and that running back in that downhill running position. Mm-hmm. And we that's what we were determined that we were going to do because we had running backs. And I tell you, another thing that I learned early that really helped us was that, you know, I went back and studied some of the great coaches. And I studied Vince Lombardi a lot. And everything Lombardi ever wrote, I read. And he, if you remember, he had the Green Bay sweep,
right?
And he would get up on the board and go to clinics and stuff and talk about one play for 2 hours. And so I decided that we were going to make the tall sweep our play out of the I formation. And for years, everybody knew if you played T.R. Miller, you better talk, you know, you better stop the sweep. And I would tell our players, you know, we better get good in this because we're going to run it. We're going to win or lose because of this play. Then we started branching out into the counters and things like that, obviously, off of that. But It was the fact that, we had one thing that we all believed in, and we sold it, and we sold it to the players, and it was just good to us for years and years and years.
Was there any time, Coach, when you were at T.R. Miller, and this is something I love hearing you talk about your players and guys that you coached with, something that you remember that was really touched your heart, that was a player or a coach or something that happened, just something that you will always remember that made a great difference in your life?
Well, I tell you, there were two categories of players that I loved at Miller. One was the old boy who was just a tough old boy who had always wanted to play for Miller, and he showed up the first day, and he loved to practice, and every day he was having the time of his life, and he was a leader. He was everything you wanted him to be. And I loved those kids. And I had some down through the years that played all different positions that did that. And the second kind of kid that I really loved was the one who grew up in Bruton, wanted to play for Miller, and was always too small or too slow or not strong enough, and he worked himself to death, and by the time he's a senior, we put him out there on the field. And I had about a decade ago, I had a young man named Mooney Naughty. And Mooney grew up, his parents were from Bruton, he grew up in Bruton, he always wanted to play for T.R. Miller, but he was not a football player. You could tell, he didn't look like a football player. He just wasn't a football player. But you couldn't run him off. And by the time he's a senior, we had put him at center. And Eddie Brunger's my offensive line coach at the time. I kept telling Eddie, we need to get somebody else. He's not strong enough. He's just not going to be able to get the job done. And he kept telling me, hey, we need to keep him going and everything. So anyway, to make a long story short, by the time we get to the first game, he wins the starting center job. And I can't believe it. I'm telling him, I don't think we win a game with him playing now. But I'm going to go ahead and let you play him, but I don't think we win any game. And he turned into a pretty good player. And one of the bad things that happens in coaching sometimes is about the third or fourth game of the year, he had a season-ending injury.
And
I remember writing him a letter thanking him for reminding me that you don't have to look like a great football player to be one.
Amen to that, buddy.
That is awesome.
He showed us that. So it was, that was one that I think I'll always remember.
That's great. That's a fabulous story. We're visiting with legendary coach Jamie Riggs, former coach of T.R. Miller and Houston Academy, and we're going to go take a quick time out. Coach, can you hang tight for just another segment? We got a couple more questions we want to ask you.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Don't go anywhere. We got some good stuff coming up, all right? You got to tune in to PSR right here on the PSR Radio Network.
Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report. We're broadcasting live today from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room. And boy, we're glad to be back in here for sure. Glad to have you with us as we're visiting with legendary coach Jamie Riggs. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and Coach, I know in the break there, you had a question you said you're going to ask Coach
Riggs. Yeah, one thing that I've always admired about high school coaches, they take a new job. Jamie's first year at T.R. Miller was 89, and they go 8-4, and then they proceed to have a tremendous record for the next 18 years. And then, Jamie, in your 19th year in 2007, you had your only losing season there. You were 5-6. Talk about that team and talk about the difference in that one team, because, a lot of times when you have success like you guys had, you have that kind of season, it just kind of you just kind of reevaluate after that season.
Yeah, and to put this into a little more perspective about losing seasons, in the last 58 years, T.R. Miller's had 3 losing seasons.
Wow.
And so you know, for us to have a losing season, you know, was hard, and it was one of those years where, you know, we had a good football team the year before, and had a lot of seniors, and we didn't have a real good junior class. There weren't very many of them. It was a small class, which happens with small schools a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then the group behind them wasn't a bad group. They were a pretty good group, but they were all just real young, and some of them ended up being good players, but they weren't ready to play yet. We were just short on some players. The one thing I remember, a couple things I remember about that group is they did everything we asked them to do, and they were determined that they were not going to have a losing season. And they did everything, and we actually upset a couple of people to even get close to be able to do that. And the other thing, and this is what you don't want to have happen when you're having a season like that, I had a junior quarterback, and he got injured early in the year. And the backup quarterback was a freshman who lived at my house.
And
boy. Yes, so we're, you know, and to make things worse, Will was not only a freshman, he was a small freshman. all of a sudden, we are playing that season with my freshman son playing quarterback, and he really did really well. The hardest part was going home to his mother every day. She was concerned he was going to get killed.
I know.
And so it was a very, very interesting year, but we learned a lot from that. And the next year, you know, we called it our comeback season, and we went to the semifinals of the playoffs. So, but I have a lot of admiration for those kids that went through that year, because they really did everything they could do to keep from losing.
Well, no doubt about that. And you go through 27 seasons and just have one losing year. Boy, that's amazing. I want to talk a little bit about Frank Cotton. Frank Cotton was a valued member of the Central Board. Of course, your high school coach. And, boy, I'm telling you, he was a leader in that state office. I know that Coach Scott, Bubba Scott, had the greatest respect for him, and everybody that ever knew him had. Talk just a little bit about your relationship with Coach Cotton.
Coach Cotton, I was in junior high school when Frank Cotton showed up in Bruton, and he got everybody's attention in a hurry, and he was teaching over at what was the junior high school in those days, and we were scared to death of him. I'm going to tell you, now he's a little old man.
He is a little guy.
We were scared to death of him, and he could wield a paddle. I'll tell you that in those days. In those days, you know, you could beat folks, and he whooped folks with that paddle. And but we loved him, and we just wanted to be able to get to the high school and play for him one day. And I got the opportunity. He became the head coach at Miller my senior year, and I just loved it. I tell you, every day with Frank was like the greatest day. And he just had this way of teaching these little old lessons. And, you know, sometimes we get through a practice, and he would just sit down and he would talk to us for about 5 minutes about pride, you know, what it meant to have pride. And then the next day he might talk to us, you know, about what it meant, what effort was really about. And he was the greatest motivational coach that you could hope to play for. And I tried to learn some things and take some things from him down through the years. And like I said, he was my principal for several years, and he was you couldn't have a better principal, because he was all for football now. Whatever football needed, whatever you needed to be able to do. So I had a great relationship with him, and loved him very much. And you know, we lost him about 4 years ago. He passed away.
Yep, right.
He was a terrific person, and went on in Bruton and worked for a Peach Ford in Bruton, and I don't know how many cars I bought.
You had to buy from your coach.
There you go.
Yeah, and everybody had ever played for him in Bruton bought a car from him, you know.
That's right.
But he was a great person and well known throughout state Alabama, and of course in the Hall of Fame, which he deserved.
Coach, we got about a minute and a half left in this segment. We're gonna have to wrap it up, but tell us a little bit about I know one young man you're very proud of and a guy that I have utmost respect for is your son, Michael. Tell us what Michael's doing these days.
Well, Michael is the director of football operations at Auburn University. And he walked into the building at Auburn 1 year ago in July, and they hired him to be I'm not really sure what they hired him for. The first job, and he'd been there about a week, and they put him in recruiting and on-campus recruiting. And then at the end of the year, he'd been there about 6 months, they moved him into the director of football operations. I told him, I didn't know how you went from nobody knowing who you were, the director of football operations. But he pulled it off. So he loves it. He's having a great time there. And his wife, Mallory, was a former cheerleader at Auburn, and Michael had worked at with the video staff, you know, when he was at Auburn, and loved that. So he's having the time of his life. He's in the middle of all kind of things, and loves Auburn, loves what he's doing, spending a lot of time. But you know, in coaching, you're gonna spend a lot of time anyway.
That's
and
right.
So he's having a great time doing that, and you know, it's always, it's hard to get any information out of him, you know, these days. He's pretty tight, thing. you know, up there. But he's having a great time working at Auburn University.
Coach, we have got to run. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a wonderful morning having you with us. Look forward to having you back on again real soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
There you go.
Blessings.
Legendary
pal.
Coach Jamie Riggs. Funny dude.
He's a heck of a football
player.
There
is no
doubt
about it.
But he's an even better man, let me tell you.
He really is. All right, first hour coming on. Second hour of the Prep Sports Report coming directly at you. Do not touch that dial.
It's time for the Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lessiter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Charleston Gas Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the BSR Radio Network. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and we're going to have Coach Michael Pierce coming up in just a few moments. But, Coach, turning it over to you.
Yeah, got to read. You know who that was leading us into this segment? That was the Doobie Brothers.
That's right.
And they will be at the Wharf on July the 23rd.
First concert I ever went to in my life, Doobie
I'll be
Brothers.
There. Really? And was Michael McDonald with him?
Yes.
He'll be there at the Wharf July the 23rd.
And so will you.
I will be there.
That's right.
You know, local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan, and they wanted us to tell y'all that Jimmy Duncan is a dear, close friend to Peyton Manning. Now, I don't know why they wanted us to tell you that, but they wanted us to tell you
some
that.
Good info.
And Jimmy and Braxton are there to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for your businesses. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Randy and Mark, I want to mention one thing is before we get into Michael here, who is probably one of the finest young men I have ever had the privilege of teaching, being around, just one fine, fine young man. We have a dear friend down in Dothan, and many people in Dothan from our Northview family listen to us online there, and young man by the name of Hayes McKay. Hayes is a pastor of Covenant United Methodist Church there in Dothan. And matter of fact, he's my doubles partner at Huntington. One of the
is that right?
Kindest, sweetest young men I've ever known in my life. And Hayes is coming. He's getting close. Yeah. He's getting close to go home. And I just want the people in Dothan and Mac's family, Maura and the boys, to know that Mac is completely in our thoughts and prayers right now. And well, I'm going to tell you right now, he is one of the finest young men I've ever been around. And he has been a minister in the Methodist Church for 30-plus years, right there at Covenant. And Methodist ministers aren't a lot like Baptist ministers, Mark. They generally don't get to stay somewhere but about 4 or 5 years.
Right. Is that right?
Mac has stayed there for 30-plus years.
Wow.
He started that church, and he is loved in that community. And I just want to express our utmost thoughts and prayers for Mac McKay and more in the entire family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just remind you real quick on our Pops Midtown communication lines. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Jeff Price. He's the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals along the panhandle of Florida on WFGX 35. That's part of the WAR TV family. We'll talk with him coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we're going back to our phone lines right now and talk to just an awesome, awesome guy, Coach Michael Pierce, former Daphne Trojan quarterback. He was part of that Bayside coaching staff for many years and now part of the staff of the world champion LA Rams. Coach, how are you doing, my man? Good to talk with you. Glad for you to be on with us this morning.
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on. Everything's going well.
Hey, big guy, this is Mark, man. I'll tell you what, we sure miss you at Bayside, buddy. I have still talk about you all the time. We tell stuff about you and the job that you did there at Bayside, and we knew that we wouldn't be able to keep you very long because you had too much going on. But we wanted to have you on this morning because there's a lot of folks who live in our area knew about you when you were playing and coaching and working with the Senior Bowl. But a lot of folks kind of want to know what's going on in your life and what are you doing these days. So we thought we would get you on and let you tell us a little bit about it and about your journey and how you got to where you are. And so that's kind of what we're doing with you this morning, Michael. And just tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now with the Los Angeles Rams.
Well, right now I'm a scout for the Rams. So I cover Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So in essence, what I do, I go into all those schools. If they have a prospect, I'm there. I'm talking to every single person that I possibly can. I'm watching them practice. I'm watching tape on them. I'm doing a full eval on a ton of guys and sending that information back into to our building and recommending who I think makes us better. So I listened to you guys earlier, and I wish it was just the position, but it's a little bit different in the fact that
okay.
I do everybody. So everybody at the school I'll watch and put a grade on.
Okay, so Michael, last time we talked, I think, and spoke with your dad too, at one position that you were basically, I guess, responsible for was the tight end position. So that has now changed?
Yeah, so I tell you what, the first year I got into it, kind of green, and what they do, they give you a position group. So at the time I had tight ends and outside right. linebackers, defensive ends, and that was my position group. I watched every guy in the country that would have been on our board. But after that year, then they get you out on the road and tell you, hey, go full speed and have an understanding of everybody on the field. So I've graded snappers, punters, quarterbacks, safeties, and everybody. So yeah, that was the start. And once you get out and you get out on the road full speed, everybody at that school you better know about, and you better have a good opinion of what this guy can do for the LA Rams.
And at one time, you guys had a tight end from South Alabama, right?
Yep. Gerald Everett.
Yes, sir.
Gerald had several good years for us, man. He's a dynamic player. I think he just signed with the Chargers, but he went to
right.
the Seahawks after he left us. But, man, he was integral in us kind of getting over a hump, having a guy that was so dynamic and having another tight end, Tyler Higbee, who was also dynamic. But when you have two good tight ends that are willing to block and also are dynamic in the passing game, you can have success, and Sean McVay has kind of shown that for sure.
You know, Michael, one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about getting where you are today. When you came out of, you know, it's really interesting. We got about 2 minutes, so if we go a little long, we want to hold you over for the next segment, Michael. So if we cut you off toward the end, we're letting you know the music starts playing, means we're fixing to go to a break, and then we'll come back and get you. But I want to talk to you about your journey, how you went from Daphne High School to Bayside in coaching, and then how you moved forward, and just how things took place. Because to me, it's a great story. It's a great story of a young man who followed his dream. And I think it's important that other kids hear this story, that they can follow that dream and get there. So when we come back, we're going to, I don't think we're going to get started right now on it. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back from the break. But Michael, between now and then, tell us, when you left Daphne, where did you go to college?
Started out at Tuskegee University, bounced around, and then finished up at South Alabama. Finished my undergrad there, and then, of course, got right into Bayside Academy, teaching and coaching, and first substituting, and you know, getting the itch of playing and of coaching football, getting back into it.
Michael, let me ask you this. This is Randy, real quick. How many years did you coach at Bayside?
I think I was there 6 years. I think it was 6 years.
So when we had Coach Jamie Riggs on a few moments ago with T.R. Miller, you were able to kind of remember some of those really, really neat ball games between T.R. Miller and Bayside back in 2015.
Absolutely classic battle, physical team at T.R. Miller, and long Sundays getting ready to get the work week going with Coach Lazenby.
Yeah, we did watch it. We would watch a lot of film together on Sunday.
That's some good stuff. There's no doubt. Well, look, we're going to hold you up. We got a break coming up here, and we got some other questions for you. And I want you to think about some of those T.R. Miller Bayside games, and maybe some of those games that you've seen, not only from a high school standpoint, certainly from a professional standpoint, that stand out to you, and some of the things behind the scenes that maybe some of these fans don't really know about. We may have to pull some secrets out, Mark. What do you think?
You know, you never know. We always got a secret or two laying around somewhere.
Maybe Michael can help us with that for sure. But, yeah, it's good stuff. Hey, don't go anywhere, Michael, all right? We're going to bring you back in just a second. You've got to tune in to Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy Berg and Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleveland. We continue with Michael Pierce right after this.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy, Mark, Rick, and we got Michael, Coach Michael Pierce, on the line with us. Tell you more about that in just a second. But Coach,
if you're in desperate need of body work, trust the experts at Premier Collision for quality auto repairs and services. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. You can reach them at 251-478-4500. Give Chris Garris and Tyler, give those guys a call out at Premier. They got my Tundra right now. And I'm telling you, they are, man, it is going to be something, Mark. You'll want to ride with me now. You just can't backseat drive, because I know
I'm
going
to side seat drive.
Side seat drive.
I can tell you. Either that, I'm just going to sit in the floorboard like I normally do.
That's not funny, Mark. That's not funny.
Hey, let me tell you, I have folks that say, look, we're just going to hang you on the mirror, and you can ride around with us. So there you go.
Well, if you are in desperate need of body work, give our buddies at Premier Collision any parts you need, any auto repairs, just give them a call at 251-478-4500.
There you go. Let's go back and talk with Coach Michael Pierce. He is a Southeast Area Scout for the Los Angeles Rams, and played at Daphne, the quarterback, and then coached at Bayside for quite some time. And, Michael, we want to thank you again for hanging out with us in this segment. But let's take just a second
and go back and talk about maybe a game that you remember at Bayside that just stood out. Maybe it was with T.R. Miller. Maybe it was with another team. Is there one that just stands out to you and maybe a player or two as well?
That's a great question. There were so many big games that we went in and we were thinking, oh, man, this may be a long night, but for some reason our kids believe that we could win. And you know what? They won. And I think the biggest game I can remember, up at T.R. Miller, we go up there. I can't remember the year. And big fourth down. And as you guys know, Coach Lazby, physical. We're going to run the ball. We're going to play physical. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to know our assignments. And it's fourth and one. And Coach Leffert looks over at Phil and says, what do you want here? And he says, just throw the fade. And everybody's coaching Coach Lazenby. You know, the most tense moment, Coach Lazenby is as relaxed as anybody. Everybody's tense but Coach Lazenby. It says, just throw the fade to Jeffrey Steinball. And we convert, and that's a huge play, and we go on to win that game at T.R. Miller, which was huge.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that night Hunter Slater was a freshman, if I'm not mistaken. I think
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Anyway, that's a boy. That is a good one. And it's always
but that's
all
feel. That's so feel, isn't it?
I got, you know, one day somebody just needs to ask him about the thumb play he ran at Ben Russell, and everybody goes, "What's a thumb play?" Because that's where my thumb was on the play sheet. So I called it. It went 80 yards for a touchdown, and that's what's called a thumb play. Anybody thought, oh, that's a great call. You know, and Phil will tell you, anyway. Michael, we talked about just before the break. Tell us a little bit about your dream and how things have gone and gotten to where you are. Just tell us a little bit about your journey. I think so many young coaches and young folks need to hear your journey and how you've gotten to where you are and the fulfillment you receive from what you're doing today.
Yeah, I guess the journey started with kind of scratching that itch of being back in football after getting out of football, you know, and realizing that, hey, you're not going to go to the NFL, but now, hey, how do you get back? How do you give back? And getting that opportunity at Bayside was awesome. That was really the start for me, and I feel like really grew up a lot there, teaching and coaching and understanding how to pour into people and just understanding how to deal with people, just having a passion for not only sports but people. Then get an opportunity with the Rams and met Phil Savage as a high school kid, really, and cultivated that relationship. And he calls me and says, hey, we got an opportunity at the Senior Bowl, and boom, go to the Senior Bowl, do a good job there, and then meet the GM of the St. Louis Rams at the time. So now here we are. And I will say it's a different side of football. You learn a lot. It's not as hands-on. And at some point I'll definitely get back to the coaching side of it because I enjoy that part probably more than anything. I do. But that's kind of been my journey, and I'm enjoying it. You know, they say be where your feet are and do a good job where you are, and that's kind of where I'm at right now and enjoying every minute of it.
What are the things you got going on? I know you're doing a lot of different things, and where you are and besides what you're doing with the Rams. Tell us a little bit else about what you got going on.
Well, I think you're referencing the real estate thing. So.
Yes, sir. Congrats on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Real estate is kind of it's almost like coaching for me. I think you see that young player come in, doesn't have as much confidence, not as strong, not as built up as you want it. And for me with real estate, I try to find these homes that may need some work. They need some work. They're not, you know, they're not as pretty as you want them, but guess what? You get a chance to see the end product, and you have to have a chance to be a part of that. It's the same thing in coaching. You see the young kid comes in with no confidence, and you're like, this is awesome. I really want to pour into this young man to see him become everything that he wants to be and more, to the point where, hey, this is going to be the pride of our community. Well, it's the same thing in real estate, and that's where I am. And I'm always looking for that property that, hey, I can acquire and make it the pride of the community.
You know, Michael, it's kind of interesting that you're doing that now. Our son Clay was a U.S. Marshal for many years, and now he's selling real estate in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, and Cumming, Georgia. And to me, that's what athletes are born to do because they're so doggone competitive. And real estate is so competitive. And, I mean, you got to work at it. I mean, it's not a two-hour-a-day job, three-hour, eight-hour. It's almost a 24-hour-a-day job. And I'm glad to see you doing that. I know it's kind of a hobby, side job, whatever, but you still get to let your competitive juices flow in both jobs that you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's competitive. You put in the hours, you'll reap the benefits the same way in sports. And, you know, you're used to it. You're used to it. So, like you said, it brings out those competitive juices. And at the end of the day, I think for me, seeing the NFL, one thing's common throughout the NFL, if you've been in it long enough, you're usually fired at least once. So you better have some kind of backup plan. So that's one of the things where I think after my second year, I was like, you know what? You better have something else because you see so many faces come and go. And, you know, a lot of those guys catch back on, but some don't. So, yeah, hey, you better have some kind of backup plan.
Michael, I want you to tell us about how your dad's doing. If there's a man.
I saw him the other day.
I absolutely love Michael's dad. Yeah. And, boy, you're talking about a guy that is proud of his son.
Yes,
I'm just telling you right now. You just, when you talk to him, he just coach. And he's such a humble man. And just kind of bring us up to date on how dad's doing because everybody that knows him loves him.
Yeah, he's doing well still down there in Daphne. Of course, it's a little bit different because my granddad's not around as much. But, you know, he's doing well. Him and his wife, Lena, they're doing well and just, you know, still around and still doing his everyday deal and just living life.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
We're
visiting with Coach Michael Pierce, Southeast Asia scout for Los Angeles Rams. We got you for 60 seconds, and we set this up a while ago. What is a secret in the NFL that you can share with us that most people don't know?
Secret. Find great players make better coaches.
There you go, buddy.
That's it. That's it.
Michael, listen, brother, it has been awesome having you. It's great to see you when we get to see you, and thanks for hanging out with us. I know the guys enjoyed it, and listeners, and we certainly enjoyed it. Man, much success. Much success, brother.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to get a chance to get on and talk to you guys.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Whenever you get ready to get back into coaching, give me a call.
Will do.
God bless you,
God bless you,
buddy.
Good to hear you.
All right. There you go. Michael Pierce, great guy.
Yes, sir.
Good guy to hang out with. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jeff Price. He is a color analyst for Friday Night Rivals over in the Panhandle. Got a lot to talk with him about. You won't want to miss it as the Prep Sports Report continues right here on the PSR Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Two Friday nights ago.
That's right.
Right there.
I was sitting right there. I was in his hip pocket, I'm telling you. But I was thinking about y'all. I tried to send y'all.
You did. I felt like I was right there.
That's right.
And let me tell you, I want to tell you, I've been wearing that Boss Gags T-shirt you gave
me.
Thank you so much.
That's good. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
But he did say something to PSR. His PR man had something. He addressed us.
Did he? What'd he say?
He sure
did. What'd he say?
Mark, Rick, and Randy. PSR.
Well,
he did do that.
Why are you just now telling me?
Because I didn't want you to be mad at me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's welcome you back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasser. And time to go to our Pops Communication line and welcome a good friend of ours, Jeff Price. He is the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals along the panhandle of Florida on WFGX 35, part of that WEAR-TV family. And, Jeff, man, I know you are about to get ready to play some softball. You're playing in Porch? Is that where you are?
Yes, sir. We're out here at Porch today, and it's a benefit tournament they're having for the youth teams out here. They go and they travel to NASA tournaments and things like that. So, you know, we usually play all over the place, but being able to play local and help out the kids out here, it's a pretty cool opportunity.
Well, don't get in the doggone losers bracket right off the bat, Jeff. I can just tell you that.
Thanks for a long time.
Sure does, losers Pat. Bracket. You get in the losers bracket.
No doubt.
I'm telling
you.
Now, Jeff, you've been doing Friday Night Rivals for quite some time there on WFGX. Again, part of that WER-TV family. Dan Shugart, let me just say, I think does an outstanding job in sports on WEAR. You work with Christian Gorman. Christian is the play-by-play. I've had the opportunity to sit in with you and cover for Christian a couple of times. I actually sat in and did, Coach, you ready for this? I did your job. I did some color analyst with Christian.
Wow.
Yeah. The ratings went down pretty substantial, okay, because they're not quite as good as you or Jeff. But, Jeff, one of the things I want to talk about real quick is in Florida is something that's different from a lot of places in the fact that an athlete can play baseball at one school, play basketball at another school, and play football at another school. How successful is that? Because it seems like, and I know when you and I were talking, that your teammates that you're playing these softball games with, y'all are not friends on the field, but you are off the field, and that's what makes you so good on the field. How can you create this teamwork and this loyalty when you're able to move and jump around to different schools?
Yeah, you know, me and you talked about it yesterday, you know, and I brought the softball team that I play with now, and the reason we've had so much success is not really about the talent level, but creating that bond, like you said, off the field. And you can only do so much during school and things like that during games. But remember, during games, you know, it's a whole different ball game. And knowing the, you know, your tendencies of your buddies and things like that and whatever it may be, it's just something that it's not overnight, and it takes time. And, you know, I think now more than ever, especially with name, image, and likeness, and we see that through college football, and whether you agree or disagree with it, listen, I understand players want to get their opportunity and things like that, and I'm not completely against it, but it's turned into a bidding war. We all know that. I'm saying things that especially you coaches already understand. But in high school athletics, it's crazy to hear, you know, like at Texas, they're already starting to bid for high school players, like for high schools. Like they're talking to middle schoolers, right, and things like that. And here in the Panhandle, it's the same thing like everywhere else. You know, this year, Coach Mike Bennett over at Escambia, and I use him as an example because the man just wins. You know, he may not be the most favorite coach around, and I think that's because, you know, you win a lot of games. And people don't like it because he goes out and players want to come play for him because he has so much success. And, you know, with the Escambia Gators, it's always state championship or bust. You know, players – I always have people ask me, hey, who's playing for, you know, who should I look out for this team or this team? And I said, you know what, I'll find out whenever they hit the field, because it's crazy enough to think that right before a game starts, a player can go transfer. He may go to Pensacola Catholic and then turn around and go to Escambia, with much like Tyquan Stabler, the freshman running back they had last year, that they had so much success in Coach Adams' offense running that spread. And now he's playing for Escambia. And you can't blame a kid for wanting to go and maybe have a better opportunity, but at the same time, if you're asking me how do you build that, I just don't think you can. And I think it's putting more pressure on coaches, and coaches, you know, people are expecting a coach to win day one when you just can't do the old school style way of things. You know, before you knew a player, if he didn't like it, he was going to have to earn a spot. Now if a kid doesn't earn a spot, well, he's going to go somewhere else and try to play. So it's almost, you know, it's not college athletics, but in a sense it is, where you have to re-recruit your team, not just, you know, at the end of the year, but each and every practice. And I just don't think that's fair for a lot of these coaches.
You know, Jeff, we're talking to Jeff Price, and who is a play-by-play guy.
Color analyst.
Color analyst, I'm sorry. But, Jeff, I want you to really be specific here, because a lot of people don't understand what's going on in Florida. Let's say, for example, you have a 17-year-old son, and you have your home, you've paid for your home, you're living in say you're living in Tate School District. Well, your son decides he's going to play football at Tate, he's going to play basketball at Escambia, and then he's going to play baseball at, say, Pensacola High. Do they have to move into those districts, or can they just do that during the year and stay in the same location home-wise?
Well, you know, it used to be the old way of doing things, and some people probably listening out there, they have a team in mind they're thinking of when I say this, but you move into grandma's house for baseball season or football season,
sure,
you know,
sure,
or make an a bona fide or whatever move. It may be. Now yeah. You don't have to do that. You can free transfer. And really what it started with is because, you know, in South Florida, what was happening is all these schools, you know, they wanted to have an opportunity for, you know, their kids to get a better opportunity. Of course, it's South Florida. You know, they have way more right. people than us, and they have tremendous athletes. But it's you don't have to make those adjustments anymore. You can live in one place and transfer to whatever schools you want to. Now, it's not as common as we think it is, but it's tough because what's happening is these key pieces of offense, maybe it's a couple offensive linemen, which, you know, mean just as much as running backs and wide receivers, especially to a quarterback or a coach's scheme, or maybe it's a linebacker that's a smart kid. You know, he's got Division I offers like we see a lot of kids in the Panhandle have, and they transfer. Well, now you're left, you know, kind of shaking your head of what do I do now because the kid left a month before the season started or whatever it may be. But you don't have to, you know, you can stay in the same spot. That's what makes it so tough is there's no effort anymore to be able to go play wherever you want to, which for some people, you always get the people that are like, well, it's always should be what's best for the kid. I don't know if bouncing around two or three different schools throughout a year is probably what's best for the child because I just don't understand what you can be teaching them.
You know, Jeff, let me ask you a question then. And Coach, I know we talk about recruiting and all that in high school and how that's a no-no, but it sounds to me that could be possible with this scenario there in Florida. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes, it's absolutely, you know, it's hard for me. I get worked up thinking about it just because, you know, I watch kids that transfer and thinking they're going to have a better opportunity because, hey, let's be honest, you know, if you're a coach and you don't want to play against that guy, you know, you want him on your team whether he's going to play or not, and that kid ends up, you know, who was a star on the field for maybe Washington, goes to, you know, Niceville or something, and now he's not touching the field because they've got 120 kids on the sideline. So that's where, you know, this whole thing kind of burns me a little bit is, you know, you can't go against the coaches. You can't, you know, the parents want what's best for their kid, and they think sometimes, you know, the old saying, the grass is not always greener on the other side. That's the case with this. And it's a shame because this is really a South Florida issue. Not a panhandle issue, but you know what? Hey, rules are rules. So if you can go for it, why not, I guess?
Well, let's go back years and years. Floyd Adams was a tremendous baseball coach there in Pensacola, and then Randy Putnam had a great, great run there at Tate High School as baseball coach. And I can promise you in those days, had that been the case, everybody that thought their son was a baseball prospect would have been at Tate High School.
Right.
And to me, it's absurd. I mean, really, it is. And, Jeff, I don't mean that anyway personally, but you cover it. Bless your heart for having to cover this kind of stuff. But, you know, what we've lost is we've lost loyalty to our neighborhood schools, to the kids that we grew up with playing wiffle ball out in the backyard, playing two-on-two basketball in the driveway, playing three-on-three baseball in the sandlot. We've lost that. And now what we're doing now is we're just saying – I'm going to coach at this school, and I'm going to get every good player that I can get, and it's absurd. And we have no rules. You know, you go anywhere you want to go to play for whatever coach you want to play for, and we don't have community football teams anymore. We just don't have it. And I hate that you have to deal with that in Florida. But let me tell you this: I'm afraid it's going to become more and more evident in different states around the Southeast because of the desire of the communities to want to have a winner. And they'll pay coaches $160, $170. I have a friend who just went to Gainesville, Georgia. I can't even tell you how much money they're paying him to come over there. It's just unbelievable where we're going. And this kind of stuff that Florida really was the front runner. They were mm-hmm. the genesis
were.
Of this. Yeah. They started this, and it's all because of those things that were happening in South Florida down around right. Miami-Dade, Miami South down there. Jeff, I hate that you have to deal with that, pal.
Yeah, it's not fun because, you know, growing up the way I grew up, and, of course, I grew up farming over here in Walnut Hill, and yep. I always tell people I worked with Mennonites and stuff. And, you know, you talk about loyalty. There's no better loyalty than that, and that's family. And that's kind of how going through my college career, my team, the guys that I went to battle with, I may not like you off the field necessarily, but when we put that uniform on, we're family, and we're going to look out for each other. We're going to have each other's backs, and we'll figure out the off-field stuff later on. You just don't see that anymore. What bothers me is we're in this Twitterverse, this Instagram. Everybody's got to take a picture of everything they do, and they don't really absorb the moment, and it's all about them. Like, hey, look what I did, and we kind of forget family, and I hate that. There's still tons of players out there, don't get me wrong, that's what they're after. But it's just tough whenever you've got, you know, a third of your team or maybe five or six guys that, you know, you can call them, I'm sorry, call it what it is, call them cancers. They kind of ruin that whole moment, ruin that vibe for your team. And
yep.
And no, you're just not going to see that anymore. It's going to be tough. But where you do see it, I will say, is the smaller schools. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Jeff, hey, look, brother, thanks for taking time.
Thank
I know
you
y'all
so
about
much.
To hit the field out there. Hey, don't get in that loser's bracket, all right, as Coach said.
We'll try to stay out of it, but I appreciate the opportunity. And anytime you guys want to talk, I'm game.
Yes, you are. All right, Jeff Price right there. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, it's the Grace segment with Mark Lassiter.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, in the my Bible I use is called the Coach's Bible. Get it from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I was reading something Sunday at church. We were reading through some scripture. And I came across this scripture that says, keep asking, searching, and knocking. Jesus is talking. It says, suppose one of you, he's talking to a group of people, has a friend, goes to him at midnight and says, this is Luke 11:5-13. Says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because I have friends that are coming over to join me and I don't have anything to offer.
I love this.
All right. Then the friend will probably say, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. Well, I tell you, Jesus says, even though he won't give up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. It's kind of like knocking on Rick's door. Rick, I need, you know, and Rick first didn't, maybe probably didn't, won't get out of bed, but then he does because he's my friend. Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. The guy's going to do it. So I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. You know, and another scripture on this is a little simpler one in Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So many times we can knock on that door and not get an answer and we just give up. So many times we can search trying to find something, an answer to something. We don't find it. We ask somebody, we don't hear it. Whatever, and we just give up. We have to keep asking and keep searching and keep knocking on the door. Because if we give up, you know, people in our lives depend on us, whether we know it or not. Whether we know it or not, people depend on us. You know, athletes that play ball for us in whatever sport it is depend on that coach. They do. They depend on that coach to do certain things. Be there, be dependable, be fair, be knowledgeable, and be enthusiastic about what he's or her she's doing. They depend on that. And they're looking for that. Kids are looking for it. And if they come and they don't find it, they're going to start asking for it. You know? And as a coach, I've got to be able to answer. And if I can't, I don't need to be a coach anymore. I'm not really a friend. I'm not a buddy to kids that play for us. But I like to think of myself as their friend, that if they're going to ask, I'm going to try to respond with the correct answer, whatever that may be. But Jesus tells us, keep asking, keep searching, keep knocking. And the answers will come. The door will be open. Because if we don't have that in our heart, what dad is not going to answer his child's question? You know, it also says in there, I think it's chapter 11, says, a father, when a son asks, Dad, can I have a piece of fish? He's not going to give him a snake. You know, our Father in heaven is not going to do that to us. We ask for this. He's going to give us what we need. Same thing our kids ask. It's the same things when I ask for Rick's help, or Rick asks for mine, or for our Randy, whatever we do. When we ask for one another's help, we try to give it. That's what this whole world's lost sight of, in my opinion. We don't help each other enough. We don't fulfill each other's needs. And too many people give up. And when you give up, your kids lose. Your friends lose. The world loses. Because the world needs every one of us, or we wouldn't be here. So I have this big thing in my heart that's been a real... In fact, I was talking to one of our players' parents about it the other day, that it's a real deal for me to be present today. And I just think that's an important thing in my life, is to be present mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to do the best I can. If I don't, it's not the end of the world if I make a mistake and don't do something right. I just don't want to do it twice. I want to make amends for that and make it right. But if I'm right in my own mind and head and I haven't given up, then I have a chance to do that right every single day of my life.
You know, Mark, that hits home with a lot of people. And it hits people right where we all need to be hit. It hits us in our heart. It hits us in our beliefs. It hits us in our intentions. Probably 10 years ago, I was going through some really tough times. And at the time, I was meeting with two gentlemen, Jim Roberts, who's now gone home, and a guy named Bill Hart, who also is gone home. And they sent me a scripture, and it was Joshua, the first chapter, the 9th verse. And not long ago, I found a bracelet that had that on it. And I wear that every day because it reminds me, first of all, of them and their influence in my life. But second of all, because we were always there for each other. There was never a knock on the door that went unanswered. There was never a phone call that was not returned. There was never a time when we were in need that the other two were not there, for all three of us. And what you're talking about today is exactly that. And in our line of work, in coaching, those children need us every single day. Now, it may be in a classroom. It may be on a practice field. But they need us every single day, because, you know, there's a lot of those kids that we don't know what they go home to.
That's right.
We really don't. And so when that knock on the door is there, we have to be there. Not because we must or we're ordained to be there, but because we want to be there. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, Jim Roberts wrote that to me. That may have been 15 years ago. It's amazing that we found that on a bracelet that was given to me by a child who happened to be in my class. And they read us just like we read them. And what you said this morning was pertinent. And I'm telling you, it hits home with a lot of people. It hit home with me, I can tell you that. Randy, I want everybody to know, coaches I know this, but mamas and daddies, we are in a difficult time heat-wise. This coming week is going to be, I'm talking about dangerous. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that the children are hydrated, not beginning Wednesday for Thursday's practice, but beginning today for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and hydrate every day. Single
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Every single day. Randy, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you bring to PSR.
Mm-hmm.
You are the star, and we appreciate you. Remember
Y'all
this.
Are.
No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.